turn to Genesis chapter 22. We're going to get there in just a minute. And if you need a Bible to follow along with, we'd be glad to hand you one of those Bibles that we're passing out now. I just want to say happy Memorial Day weekend and happy Memorial Day to everyone. You know, in this community, it's more than just a day off, isn't it? It's a time to remember and reflect on those who've made the ultimate sacrifice, to think about those Gold Star families that have sacrificed as well. I want to thank one of our elders this morning, Jerry Brill, put the flags out for us this morning, and we want to thank him for doing that. We love all people, but on a weekend like this, we really love and remember and think about our military and all of the things that those families do to serve us. I don't know if you've ever seen this movie, but it's kind of I don't endorse many movies, but there's a movie with Kevin Bacon called Taking Chance, and it's become our family's habit to try and watch that Memorial Day weekend, and I'd recommend it for you and your family if you get a chance tonight or tomorrow sometime. Take a few minutes, reflect on those who've come before us and made so many sacrifices for us. So welcome to week four of Fearless. I hope you're excited about what's going on over the last few weeks. We've been following the life and faith of Abraham, one of our fathers of the faith in the Old Testament. And before we jump into our text today, I want to tell you a couple things about Fearless. And we've had a great couple weeks talking about the plans that we have to expand our campus, create a bigger footprint for us to worship and have children's and teen space, and the impact we believe that could have on New Bern as we were thinking about and praying about, even in our worship time that Aaron led us in today, thinking about all of those that we might be able to reach. We've had two vision nights, which have shared the whole story, the full plan with everyone. If you were not here, we would love for you to pick up this info, a little brochure that has several pages and kind of tells the story. There's more to see. There's some pictures in the foyer of what we're planning to do, and we would love for you to get on board with us. Wednesday night, this past Wednesday, we spent the day in prayer and fasting as a church family, and then we had a meal together and a time of prayer that was just really powerful during our summer Wednesdays. And I wanted to, as I've said throughout this, I want to share this moment with more than just myself. I want you to hear from other people who this church means something to. So I want you to hear this morning from Tyler and Kristen Held.
I'm Tyler Held, and this is my wife, Kristen, and we are small group leaders here at Two Rivers Church.
Been coming together since 2016, and then he went to law school from 2019 to 2022. But then after his graduation, we were just kind of deciding where we should move, and Two Rivers was always at the top of our list of reasons to move here.
It's definitely changed our lives, you know, exponentially. My day-to-day is completely different now. It's allowed us to find happiness in the things that truly matter in this world, instead of kind of just dealing with things on your own and burying things down deep. It's allowed us to be able to express ourselves and be more one with Him.
We say community is a huge reason why we love being here. Just when you walk in, you can tell that people genuinely care about you. And there's just like a sense of belonging, and especially with our small group, that's just been a huge blessing to us. And even though we're small group leaders, I feel like there's so many times where the members of our small group teach us more, you know, than we could have ever learned on our own. And it's just nice to have a group where you feel like you can be your complete self.
So, you know, with the word fearless, that kind of just means being brave, right? And it could be easy to have fear during this campaign, looking at that big number and thinking, oh man, we can never reach this. And that's exactly what the enemy wants us to think, right? He wants us to think that there's no way possible that we could expand this church. He would love for us to just sit and be content with where we are, because we could do that. But with him at the front of anything, you know, we can truly build upon this church and be fearless towards this campaign.
I feel like the growth is exciting just because we think about our future family and being able to raise kids in a church that has the beliefs that align with us and that follows God's word. But it's also just more people are coming to Christ, so that's exciting, and we should want our building to grow to fit that need. So hopefully we can fill all 600 seats in the new building, but just to reach as many people as possible. So we're just really excited.
I was sitting there and I was...
He was just pumped.
Yeah, all of a sudden, once he unveiled it, I was, you know, kind of beat my chest, like, let's go, like, just super excited about it. Yeah. I was just, like, super excited about it because why not keep trying to bring more people to Christ? Like, that, we shouldn't limit ourselves because we're limiting our space, right? So the more people that we can bring here, the better. And it's just another opportunity for us to grow as a community and to reach more people in our community. So we're both ecstatic about it. Just, you know, it's very cool.
One of the things that's come up several times through this process and a lot of conversations and just different people speaking into kind of what we're trying to do is just a multi-generational church. You know, we see young and old, we see infants and retirees, and it's such a beautiful place, I think, for us to grow our families and to reach the community. So I agree with Tyler and Kristen. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for our young adults that are in our church that are, you know, not only the church of tomorrow, but the church of right now, the passion, the heart, leading us as we talk about these things. Our goal with Fearless has been to have 100% engagement, and I hope that you've heard about it. I hope you're thinking about it. I hope you're praying about it. Next week is our Commitment Sunday. We're asking everyone who calls Two Rivers their home church to consider three commitments. You can see that on the back of this sort of brochure. We want you to pray about and think about and really consider bringing a kickoff gift or offering for a courageous gift on here next Sunday. We hope it's the biggest offering we've ever collected as a church that will go towards this project. Secondly, we're asking you to commit to give to Fearless above and beyond your normal giving for the next couple of years, for the next 24 months. That's your consistent gift. There's a giving chart on the back of this as well that kind of shows what can happen if we all sort of get in our minds that we're going to be a part of this. It's not one person. Every time we've met, I've asked, would somebody write the check for the 1.6? You know, like, and so far nobody's done that. Actually, I've had a lot of offers for checks, but they assure me they're not a good check for 1.6. But you know what? That means that we're going to do this together, right? And there's a place for everybody on this chart. Where can you fit? Where can God lead you through this? And so we pray that you would take some time to consider that and prayerfully come next week ready to make that 24-month commitment. And then also consider what creative gifts you might be able to bring. When we've done this in the past, we've seen some really creative things. People have donated cars or property or boats or stocks or things they have laying around the house that have some value that they don't know what they're going to do with. You'll be surprised how far these efforts will go. So if you have any questions about Fearless, I'd be glad to meet with you. You were given a conversation guide today as you were came in for each family. We'd love for you to sit down with your family or as individuals or as couples and kind of work through this and really prepare your hearts for what God is going to do. This is a church-wide effort. This is everyone, 100%. Even our youth and children's ministries are participating. I spoke to one grandmother this past week, and her grandkids are going through the neighborhood, shaking down the neighbors, trying to get some money. Well, not really. They're doing odd jobs and raising money for Fearless. And one of the priorities, one of the things that our leadership said, we want really great space for our young families and for children. So we hope to create great spaces for children's ministry and youth ministry. This week, a memory came up on one of my social medias. A few years ago, our children's church lesson was about encouragement. And the kids wrote notes of encouragement to me on sticky notes, and then they stuck them on my truck, and I found them after service when I went out into the parking lot. I want to share a couple of these just to show you the kind of the great kids that we have. One little girl, Lily, wrote, "Dear David," my name is David, by the way, "Dear David, thanks for deciding how our church is going to look and having a cool church." And then she said, "I like the guitar," you know, so we like that. I get a lot more credit for things than I probably should in these thank you notes, but one child said, "David, thank you. You are taking care of the church." So that's pretty cool. Another kid said, "You are funny and smart." Grace wrote, "Nice shirt." I appreciate those who like fashion, you know, and I think I am kind of fashion forward, right? But I think my favorite was from Dean. He wrote, "We love you, David. You are a good king." I put that one next to our bed, and I tell Bonnie every once in a while. And I think one of my most favorite and one I want to end on is one of the kids wrote, "We are going to learn the books of the Bible because we love God's Word." Right? Isn't that what it's all about? Look, we're excited about creating new worship space and a new building, courtyard, all of those things. But the nuts and bolts of this project is to create great spaces for our kids where they can learn and grow and grow in their understanding of God's Word so they can learn about God. And so that's why we're doing these things. And that's why we're asking you to prayerfully consider partnering with us and taking this fearless challenge. I think God's going to do some amazing things through this. Have you ever had a test that you thought was unfair? Anybody ever been in school where you thought, this isn't what we studied for, or this wasn't on the study guide? I know my girls are first year of college under their belts, but in the last several years, I can remember those nights when they came home. What we studied wasn't even on the exam. It wasn't even in the test. It was such an unfair test. And so today we're going to see that Abraham tested in a way that on the surface seems maybe cruel and certainly unfair. But there's a lot that we can learn from his experience. And one of those things is that when we choose to trust and serve God, blessing often follows testing. Like, do you know that to be true in your life, that a blessing often follows maybe those trials and testing that happens? Have you ever seen this pattern in your spiritual journey? There's a test, sometimes an extended or even severe test, and on the other side of the test, God provides a blessing. Why does God work that way? Because waiting requires faith, right? And what God wants most is for us to trust him. And sometimes the blessing is in the test or in those times of waiting. Does immediately receiving everything we hope for deepen our maturity and faith, right? No, it might make us grateful. We might be thankful for those things, but it doesn't make us mature. Hebrews 11:1, the great chapter of faith, describes faith. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. Right, so faith is about what's not seen yet and following God into those areas that are not quite revealed. On the other hand, instant gratification doesn't require any faith. Like, it's there now. There's no waiting. There's no assurance of what's not yet seen. There's no trusting, right? And also instant gratification doesn't produce godly character. So faith increases only when we have to wait, when we don't get everything instantly. See, our focus is on getting somewhere or acquiring something, but God's goal is to make us someone. James, the brother of Jesus, wrote these words in James chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, "You know that you learn to endure by having your faith tested. But you must learn to endure everything so you will be completely mature and not lacking anything." See, when our faith is tested, our endurance has a chance to grow. And God doesn't always make things easy because he knows that there's growth in these difficult times. There is a chance for maturity. So Abraham, remember a couple weeks ago, we've been talking about Abraham was given this promise that he would be the father of many of this great nation, that his offspring would be as many as the sands on the sea and the stars in the sky. God kept reiterating that at a time when Abraham and Sarah had no children. Not only that, but they were older in age. Abraham waited 25 years for God to begin fulfilling that promise. It was 24 years before Sarah became pregnant, and another year before Isaac, that son of promise, was born. That's a quarter century. So 100-year-old Abraham had a newborn, And because of that waiting, his strength, his faith had strengthened. In Genesis chapter 22, Abraham's miracle child, Isaac, is likely a teenager when God asks Abraham to do the unthinkable. You remember this story? Genesis chapter 22, starting verse 1, says, "Sometime later, God tested Abraham." Now, that's not just a throwaway line. Everything that follows is God testing Abraham. Matter of fact, that is the key to understanding this event. Now, those who are critical of the Bible, those who are maybe non-believers or agnostic or atheists, would look at this story and say, "What a mean God you serve. I could never serve a God that would ask someone to do this." But remember, God said to Abraham, this is a test, right? Sometime later, God tested Abraham. That's the key to understanding this event. Remember God's motive for what he's about to do. So God calls to Abraham, and Abraham responds. He said to him, "Abraham, here I am." Abraham replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain that I will show you." Wow. You know, the Bible doesn't reveal Abraham's emotional response to that, does it? Why? Because I think we all understand what that response is. It didn't need to be said. We know how Abraham felt when he heard those words. I still remember the first time I saw my girls after they were born. I knew from that very moment, as a father, I would do anything for them. Right, parents? I would sacrifice anything. I would do my best to provide for them. I would protect for them. I would literally lay down my life for them. So what do you think it would be like for Abraham to have all those fatherly feels and to hear God say, "I want you to sacrifice this son of promise, Isaac"? Imagine the weight of those words falling on Abraham's heart. And Abraham received the most difficult instruction of his life from God. And what was his response? Look at verse 3. Early next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took him with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. And when he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God had told him about. Now, if in all of this, you're trying to figure out how to grow your faith to an Abraham level, here's a clue. He's showing us the way. Obey early. Right? We waste a lot of time and opportunity looking for ways to delay what we know God is asking us to do, don't we? We look for ways to avoid or postpone what God is asking us, those steps of faith that God is asking us to do. Abraham didn't do that. He got up the next morning. He didn't wait around. He didn't wait for, certain Sunday. He didn't wait till after a meal. He didn't wait for it to stop raining. That would be forever here, wouldn't it? There was no delay. If you want to grow your faith, learn to obey early. People who trust God respond when God calls. What was Abraham thinking, you think, as he and Isaac traveled? My guess is he was in a bit of agony for a while. But then he would remind himself that he could trust God. And then I suspect he kind of cycled through those a little bit, right? Agony, trust. Agony, trust. And I wonder if Isaac was excitedly asking about the things that they might do when they reached their destination. And Abraham, knowing what was at the end of their journey and at that destination, didn't want to answer. Look at verses 4 and 5. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you." If you're asking yourself how Abraham could do this, here's some insight. Abraham is not imagining that he's going to sacrifice Isaac and come back alone. Abraham is imagining something else. The writer of Hebrews gives us a little insight. Hebrews 11:19 says, "Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead. So in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. Abraham's level of faith is at such a high level that he believes that even if he does sacrifice his son, God will raise him from the dead. Now, how many people had Abraham seen risen from the dead? Zero, that we know of. But his faith is so strong that he reasoned, nothing is impossible with God. And you can see that reasoning and faith in his words. What does he say? We will be back soon. Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. He knew God well enough to suspect that God didn't want Isaac to die, or at least to remain dead. So Abraham reasoned that God would resurrect Isaac so that the plan could continue to unfold. And look at the word Abraham uses to describe what appears to be about to happen. He calls it worship. Worship isn't, as Aaron was talking about earlier, a style of music. It isn't gathering at a church. It's not about lights and sound system. It isn't a place or an appointment on the calendar. Worship is acknowledging God and surrendering to God. Abraham heard God calling him to surrender everything, even the son that had been promised so long ago. And his decision wasn't to be grumpy or to badmouth God or to be, you know, put on sackcloth and ashes, to go into mourning or hiding. His reaction is worship. Acknowledging God and surrendering to God. His decision was to surrender. That's always the right response. No matter what's happening in our lives, we should always go to God and worship him because he deserves being acknowledged, and he deserves us surrendering to him. The rest of the scene is moving, right? Isaac asks his dad where they're going to get the lamb for the burnt offering. All of a sudden, this teenage boy who has obviously seen this style of sacrifice and worship, he's wondering, okay, where's the lamb? And Abraham answers in verse 8, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. Every word Abraham speaks is driven by his confidence, not in himself, not in the situation, but in God himself. He doesn't like what is unfolding. He's not privy to the details of God's plan, but he trusts God even to the point of raising his son from the dead. So Abraham ties Isaac to the altar, raises his knife, and God stops him by calling his name. And then in verse 12, God says, do not lay a hand on the boy. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. See, God never wanted Isaac's death. He wanted Abraham's trust. So Abraham passed the test, and a moment later he looked up and saw a ram caught in a thicket, and so he sacrificed that instead. God had provided a burnt offering just as Abraham had told Isaac would happen. I love verse 14. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. Abraham didn't name the place, my impressive faith, did he? That would have glorified himself. He didn't name it, Isaac was such a brave boy, that would have lifted up Isaac. No, Abraham named it, God provides. See, God will not ask us to do anything that he doesn't enable us to do. Even if we all reach a level of generosity in this next season, like never before during Fearless, ultimately, it won't be you and me. It'll be God doing it. See, I think one day we're going to look back at this time in our history as a church, And we're going to remember that it was a time of testing and sacrifice, difficulty and blessing, right? We'll look back and see the lives that were changed because we made a decision to trust God in this moment. The number of kids and teenagers who accept Christ. The number of small groups, men's outings, and women's Bible studies that will have happened. Maybe sometime in the future, someone will show up here and see this new building full of people worshiping God, and they'll ask, who did this? How did this happen? And you know what we're going to say? God provided. We won't say, look at what we did, or look how great we are. We will simply say, God has provided. One of the things I love about this scene from Abraham's life is that God required him to surrender everything, didn't he? But he didn't require him to sacrifice everything. That's important to remember. We think that if we surrender everything to God, then he'll take everything from us. No, that's never the case with God. He's too generous for that. But God wants everything on the altar, withholding nothing. He wants everything to be surrendered. How often do we get the opportunity to follow God into something difficult, into that place of testing? I'm excited. Not about the money or the building, not about the kids' space. I mean, I'm excited about those things, but I'm excited to see what God's going to do through Fearless. Because I believe that blessing often tests, follows testing. I believe that there is a blessing on the other side of what God's asking us to do. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for today. We thank you for your word as it teaches us. Lord, I thank you for this season that we're in. Lord, I realize we've talked a lot about numbers and square feet and financial things, but Lord, really what we're talking about is stretching our faith. Really what we're talking about is trusting you more. But what we're really talking about is putting everything on the altar and surrendering to you. Do we really trust you? So God, I just pray that in this moment, in this time, that you would help us just to consider, Lord, how can we take one more step of faith? Lord, help us to be more and more like Abraham. Lord, those years were not easy. Those days walking up to the mountain with Isaac were not easy. But those times proved that Abraham trusted God and that he would surrender anything. So God, move our faith a little closer to you in this moment, in this season. Lord, help us to remember how much you loved us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.